what that Castellanos half season meant to them, meant to their run production, and look at what everybody else did. I'm not feeling it. I think of course they could be an 84 win team, but that's with a lot of things on the high side of the outcome spectrum.
Yeah, I think that they're probably about that good right now. And for me, it's for them to be in a legitimate contender in the division, everything has to go right. Like, I'm going to give credit to Baez and Bryant and Contreras staying at or exceeding some of their numbers, because you would think that Baez is still kind of an ascending player. And if Bryant is healthy, if Bryant gives you 150 games in the season, that you would feel very good about your chances.
But he's a five-win player, if that's good.
Right. Yeah. The pitching is terrifying. And you haven't gotten what you've needed out of Quintana. He was supposed to be the type of guy that was going to bridge to the next time your rotation turns over. And he hasn't been that. So even though he's still probably a value for what they're going to have to pay him, it hasn't had the impact that anyone over there would want.
I think that's well said. And that's the value versus impact. And that may be in the spread between the measurables and what's not necessarily measurable. But that's, you know, the Cubs have been living there.
So last night I went to Media Day. Opening night is what they call it now. It's a lot. It's a lot.
So have they not tamed that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot of crazy last night. Like, I think there was someone from TV Azteca who was wearing like a sailor suit.
Well, sure,
you know, and she was doing like, you know, stuff. But the fan aspect of it has become a bigger portion. So now, when you have players on the outside, they're also now being hounded for autographs and stuff. While this process that's supposed to be like a, or at least initially was thought of that it would be a way for members of the team that you don't ordinarily get to talk to, you get to talk to. Like, it's full blown, like, they're out there doing it. So another thing that I thought was interesting, and I feel really old, like I'm already the back in my day guy around here when I'm toting around the NBC Sports Chicago crew, that they now took it away from the field. It used to be you would go to the site of the Super Bowl, and that's where you'd have. So last night the Chiefs went first, and then the 49ers were after that. So what you'd have is the Chiefs would come out. There'd be like 12 to 14 designated areas for big stars. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes, for example, Travis Kelce. Like, they have like their own place. Andy Reid. And then everyone else was just kind of walking around. You go find a guy. Maybe a guy's in the stands. You go talk with him. Now they do it at Marlins Park. This one they've done at Marlins Park. So it's not just that you're not at a football stadium. You're now at a baseball stadium that has to be reconfigured. They brought in stands so that the fans could be closer because of where they had to assemble everything. It is a bizarre experience, to say the least.
Yeah, is it true that Derek Jeter was asking for $10 on the way into Marlins Park?
You got to give him $10.
Like, everybody had to give Jeter.
Everyone's got to ante up, and he's got the HOF to prove it.
But, you know, that was always my favorite part of Media Days. After you got done what you had to get done, and then you could just kind of go around
drift.
And see who's where and drift and say, oh, it's that guy. We can talk to that guy. You know, there was...
Right, Jimmy Ward played for NIU. You can talk to a Jimmy Ward if you want to and talk to him about his days as a Husky.
Yeah, in 96, I want to say, was that when Belichick was there, but he wasn't head coach? And I think that was the Super Bowl where I had... There's nobody around him. And he was just standing by himself. He was like the defensive backs coach or something like that. And we had this really interesting conversation because there was just nobody standing anywhere near him.
Well, I had the conversation in 07. I looked up and Tom Moore was by himself. And I go, oh, well, the guy who does the offense for the Colts,
yep.
I'll go talk to him. And I found out a lot that got me ready for the game. I don't think the days of that are kind of gone. I did get, just based on my relationship with him, I got Tobe for like 10 minutes. Like, it was just me and him. And that was fantastic, like, talking to him. And I enjoyed the juxtaposition of the last two times that these guys were in a Super Bowl, Robbie Gould and Dave Tobe, they were on the same side. Now they're facing each other.
Hmm.
And the game is back in Miami. Like, that was kind of interesting. But it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. And it ends up kind of doing some of the stuff that you end up doing on Radio Row, where media is interviewing media, because there isn't a ton of great access.
No, but then you always get the former quarterbacks working for Big Pharma in some capacity. So there's always going to be some guy
pitching something.
Yeah, his enlarged prostate, and another guy with his gastroesophageal reflux. And
crazy is, Dan, I haven't seen a lot of that so far. Now, it's only Tuesday. Wednesday is when things kind of start going haywire on Radio Row. But I haven't really seen that yet. I've been looking for it. Now, there have been people that they pitch you. Like, that's the interesting thing for me. And
yeah, but there's a poison pill and all those things. I remember that when they say, hey, you want to talk to Goldberg? I'm like, yeah, we'd love to have Goldberg. Well, at first you have to talk to Furman Bischer. And no.
No.
No. How about no for all of it then?
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX, HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Lawrence, I have to ask you, this just popped up on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen this or whether... Is
Jared Jeffress? Yes, I've seen that.
No, not Jared Jeffress. This is a real story. Have you seen Deion Sanders down there?
Yeah, he just walked past like literally 5 minutes ago.
Apparently, he just told the Dan Patrick Show he's going to be a head coach in college football next year.
What?
And has had a second interview at a school that is not FSU.
Really?
That's what's popping.
Yeah, now that I look where I'm at, I'm right by the Dan Patrick set. So that must be where he was.
Wow. Interesting.
That is kind of stunning to me.
And we get the news early in the show, Bob Nightingale says that Dusty Baker is going to be the Astros manager.
Yeah, but then there's been some pushback on that.
There has been some.
That's not a done deal, and Dusty doesn't have the gig just yet.
But doesn't Nightingale have the direct line to Dusty? I mean, they're buds.
He does. He does, and he's been right about a bunch of stuff. So I would imagine that he's well sourced on this one, but maybe it's one of those things of it's going to happen, it just hasn't happened yet. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
So if that happens during the show and it becomes a little bit more official, or maybe we get a couple more people confirming Nightingale's tip, then we'll talk about that. I mean, I guess if you're a team that's close, that's a good option, right?
Yeah, I think you do a lot worse than Dusty Baker. And I think I would guess that if Jim Crane, the Astros owner, has decided to hire Dusty, if the reports are true, then he's thinking he wants someone in there that has his own, as Dan put it, has his own gravity, that has something that pulls things away from the conversation and helps to reset some things. I don't think he's your long-term guy.
No.
He's your get me out of this.
Yeah, it ain't stinking yet.
No.
Have fun down there, Lawrence.
All right, boys. Thank you very much. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They are on from 9 until noon, Monday through Friday. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you from noon until 2. And the top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Everyone loves riding the Zamboni on the ice in front of the Chicago Wolves crowd. To sign up for your spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox, visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. This hour is being brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
On the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I have my own issues and conflict with it, and why anyone else would too. I also understand someone that goes, well, in moments where there is a giant piece of grief, do we need to dig up the dirt on someone? And I just feel like you can tell the whole story. How you tell the whole story is important too. I have my own standards on that. Other people have theirs, and I'm not here to tell them how to do their job. I can just tell you how I plan to do mine. And I think that it is important and does need to be discussed. And let me just give you the last paragraph of Nancy's piece, because I think that it really does speak to all of this stuff. And USA Today, you should read it. It's really, really good. Nancy writes, Bryant was neither a god nor a demon, though at times he resembled both. He was flawed and complicated, and it's okay to acknowledge that.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. I am on Radio Row at Super Bowl 54. I've been taking a lot of pictures and videos of my experience down here. If you're on Instagram, because that's kind of basically what I'm doing is this. The content I'm giving you on my Twitter account. So podcasts that I'm doing down here, interviews, like stuff like that. That's going on the Twitter account. The fun stuff and some of the pictures, that's all going on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, I'm at Lawrence W. Holmes on Instagram. And you could see some of the stuff that I've put up already in my stories. And I will keep doing that. There's actually a really cool set piece of the NFL 100 that has a bunch of the Bears on it, obviously. So I got pictures of that. You can see kind of what I'm seeing on Radio Row. Starting to fill up, that sort of thing is going on here. So we'll do a little bit of Super Bowl stuff, including Robbie Gould last night. He spoke with the Chicago media, and I'll share a little bit of that before we get out of here. We're also going to talk some White Sox today, and we're going to let you hear from Rick Hahn in case you missed it, because we felt it was an important thing to do coming off of what the White Sox and what White Sox fans have called a very successful and fun Sox Fest this past weekend. But we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Tuesday, January 28, 2020. Let's start with the Bulls. Before the game, Jim Boylan was moved by the death of Kobe Bryant. He said this to speak on it.
Jim, you have two daughters that obviously are on the road at times and in the arena, and how much does what happened yesterday
that's a tough question to answer.
It's a tough question to answer for a lot of people involved with the Bulls and a bunch of the players. They wanted to talk about Kobe as well. Thad Young said this.
Yeah, I was always amazed by his work ethic and what he does as a player. I mean, you know, I grew up as a kid, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, watching this guy. And, you know, I'm able to get out there on the court with him and you know, see what he brings to the game and what he brings to the, not just the game, but, you know, to people's everyday lives. I mean, he put Los Angeles on his back. You know, as you can see, the whole city, you know, they stand behind him each and every day. And, and not just that city, but the whole world. You know, like I say, global icon.
It was cool to see the outpouring of affection from fans at the United Center last night, the house that Michael built, and a lot of people going to the concrete outside of the United Center with chalk and writing messages about Kobe. I thought that was a cool thing. Zach LaVine is one of those kids that was inspired by Kobe Bryant, and you can tell that Bryant, maybe even more than Jordan, was something that pushed him to getting to the NBA.
You miss so much from just what he brought the game of basketball. He inspired a whole generation of kids, pretty much. Just, you know, they wanted to be like him. It's, you know, like kids in the 80s and 90s wanted to be like Mike. You know, we wanted to be like Kobe. And you know, growing up and seeing the different highlights, his hard work, I feel like that was one of the biggest things that he instilled in me, was his hard work. And I try to bring that to my game, and his passion for the game, how ruthless he was and as a competitor. But it was more than that, you know, as a basketball player. But, you know, he was a father. You know, there was more families on there, and it's just terrible what happened, man. And you know, it's just such a loss in so many different ways.
On to the game. Inside the game, the Bulls paid tribute to Kobe, taking an 8-second penalty.
Mark Davis, the veteran official, gives it up to Thomas Satoransky. He's just going to dribble it out in backcourt, and there's going to be an 8-second count against the Bulls. And this crowd on their feet to honor Kobe Bryant, jersey number 8. And that's going to be a turnover on the Bulls. And So it'll be San Antonio ball. And this crowd with chants of Kobe. A lot of 24 and 8 jerseys, Laker jerseys. Kobe Bryant with 20 seasons of Laker basketball.
A lot of the NBA teams took 24-second violations and 8-second backcourt violations to honor Kobe. Then the two teams played, and guess what? The Bulls won.
Double on the ball on the left wing in front to Satoransky. Right quarter, Dunn. Dunn to the rim. Dunn gives it up. Left quarter, Young for three. Yes! Big time onions, Thaddeus Young for three. Deep in the near quarter.
The Bulls last night did a really good job of hitting threes late in the game. And overall, they were 38% from behind the arc. They win 110-109 is the final over San Antonio. Now, on to baseball. Nicholas Castellanos is going to join the Reds. He signed a 4-year, $64 million deal to go to Cincinnati. It's got an opt-out after a year. He wants to make sure everything is right. And we loved interacting with Castellanos as a Cub. And this was a moment where a lot of people who were fans of the Cubs and Castellanos maybe fell more in love with him.
I don't know. It just does. It's easy for something that we love to get looked at like a business, you know? And I feel like that sucks. And that, not just in baseball, but just like in everything in life, you know? So that it just makes me feel good to hear him say that.
That was when Joe Maddon had told us how much he appreciated Castellanos' approach to the game, and then we had Castellanos on the next day. He broke down in front of the crowd, and it was a really, really great moment. I really like that guy. I was hoping he'd end up on the White Sox. I felt like he's the perfect type of veteran to add to their clubhouse. Plus, he's really good offensively. Good luck to him in Cincinnati. The Reds are trying to put together a team that can compete for that division, and they just took away one of the Cubs' big offensive pieces for the second half of the season. That is your rundown for Tuesday, January 28th, 2020. We need to take a timeout. And the reason why is that with the news of over the weekend about Kobe Bryant, we basically made our show about Kobe yesterday, as I thought that we should. And we're going to spend some more time covering the Kobe story with J.A. Adande at 1240. I want to make sure that White Sox fans get served because it was a crazy weekend for them. It's a good weekend for the White Sox as an organization. Their general manager was on the show, and it's a good interview. So we're going to share it again for those who missed it. It's coming up next here on The Score.
The biggest game on the planet is right here on The Score. Here are the Kansas City Chiefs.
For the first time in 50 years, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Take on the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 54.
The San Francisco 49ers are going to the Super Bowl for the seventh time in franchise history.
Listen live Super Bowl Sunday only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. A presentation of Westwood One Sports. Brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
911, what's your emergency? We got a severe manscaping accident on the line. Now, tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. You used a cheap rusty razor on your privates. I thought so. You need the Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped. Its skin-safe technology helps prevent nicks and cuts. Yes, sir, you can save 20% off with code RADIO at manscaped.com and get free accelerated shipping. Help is on the way.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to COO Dylan Miskowitz, who needed to hire a director of coffee for his company, Cafe Altura.
We would look through lots of applications for people who were not qualified. It definitely felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
So Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
We're very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a powerful tool in our hiring process.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. at ZipRecruiter.com/needle. That's ZipRecruiter.com/needle. ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
With the first pick in the plumbing and heating supply draft, contractors select SupplyHouse.com. Take the field at SupplyHouse.com on Monday, February 3rd to get 1% off for each touchdown scored in the big game.